Say this morning, I was born to soar. I was born to soar. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. We've been looking at this the last few weeks now. I think this is part five. Glory to God. If you're counting, if you're not, good on you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Why don't we just say that again this morning? I was born to soar. I was born to soar. Remember, when we look at this, although it's essential to know who we are in Christ, that's so important to understand our identity in Christ, our new identity. If anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. But that knowledge must also be balanced with a revelation of who Christ is in us. Because possession without power is not enough. Possession without power. Our possession is guaranteed in Christ, but possession without power isn't enough to live the life that we were designed and created to live. You can ask the Queen about that. You know, who knows the Queen gets to live in several palaces? She enjoys great wealth. She enjoys all of the benefits that that brings. She is bowed down to. She is treated with great respect and honour by many people. She's even invited to rubber stamp the decisions that are made by the government. But the reality is that she has no real power anymore to reign over the kingdom in any significant way. She is little more than a figurehead. She has no right to make decisions or to enforce her will. She has possession, but her power to act in matters of government that would determine the direction of the nation, and these things, she is supposedly sovereign, but that sovereignty has really been stripped away. She has been reduced to someone who is patron over a multitude of charities for which she works tirelessly. She is a diplomatic ambassador for the nation. And although she's a dedicated apologist for Christianity, she gets to make her case every Christmas on TV. Her personal faith has little to no effect on the decisions that are made by the parliament, who makes such a big thing of outwardly ordering her possession. You hear what I'm saying this morning? I'm not here to talk just about the Queen. We're here, I'm trying to build a picture for you here. Elizabeth II is a constitutional monarch. That means that she is Britain's head of state. But her executive powers are limited by constitutional rules. So her role is mostly symbolic. And she represents Britain on state visits and on ceremonial occasions. In fact, I thought it was really interesting. I watched the parliamentary debate on whether or not Donald Trump should be granted a state visit in the UK. And the one thing I never heard anyone mention was, has anyone asked the Queen? Because it's not her decision. She was supposed to be at the centre of it all, but it's not her decision. She gets told whether someone's coming or whether or not. And she has absolutely no say in the matter. The truth is, and I want you to hear this morning. You need to listen up. The truth is the Queen reigns, but the Prime Minister rules. The Queen is the head of state, but the Prime Minister is the head of government. And I want to ask you a question this morning. Has the church become a constitutional monarchy, where Jesus reigns symbolically as a figurehead, but really religion rules? The denomination rules. The presbytery rules, the pastor rules, or the people rule, because the church might still give Jesus his symbolic position as head of state, but he's actually been removed as head of government. And the church has become a democracy. See, what we have in this country, I'm not saying it might not be the best way to run a country, but it's not the best way to run a church. In fact, God created a people for himself. From Abraham, he brought forth a people for himself, and they were always intended to be a theocracy. Do you remember when they were asking for a king? And God said, well, you can have a king, but I'll tell you, you'll rue the day. Because God was supposed to be their king. And then the church, we need to understand, when the new covenant church was birthed, it was only supposed to have one king. His name is Jesus. Amen. Anyway, glory to God. You know, some churches have even become virtual dictatorships, oligarchies, where the power is shared between just a few people. I'm not going to talk too much on that, but you know what I'm saying? But we proclaim Jesus to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But you know, Jesus asked a question one day. And he's still asking the same question. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still asking the same question. The question was this. It's recorded in Luke chapter 6, verse 46. He says, "So, why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say?" You know, I've taught many times on the importance of ensuring that we align our experience, that our experience is aligned with our possession in Christ. So I want you to listen very carefully, because I'm going to give you a very powerful key that will help equip you to move from religion to reality, from 3D existence to 4D living, and from 3D religious futility to 4D supernatural victory. Anyone interested? You see, Jesus here, he's saying that if we don't give him his possession, we're very good at talking about our possession, but he's saying that if we don't give him his possession, then that will have a major impact on the level of his provision that we experience. Mm-hmm. Some people are wondering, this ain't working for me. I think I'm saying all the right things, but this ain't working for me. Why is it not working? See, what word were we focusing on last week? Purpose. Someone help me. Purpose. Our purpose is to become like Jesus as his character is formed within us. Now, the three components of character, we've looked at this over the weeks, are identity, morality, and integrity. Now, integrity is when what you say and what you do are one and the same. When you actually practice what you preach, and when you walk the walk as well as talk the talk. And Jesus here is questioning the integrity of these folks' profession. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? Remember the scriptures we looked at a couple of weeks ago in Titus chapter 1 verse 16. I can tell you're really excited about this word. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 5. These are those who profess to know God, but in works they deny him. And here's another 3D group of people, being despicable, disobedient, and disqualified from every good work. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him. And then in 2 Timothy 3:5, there are those who have a form of godliness. Outwardly they look like they're very religious. They're doing all of the things from the outside, but deny its power. See, Jesus then goes on to say in Luke chapter 6 that those who hear what he says and do it, he says, they're like a wise man who dug deep and laid the foundation of his house on solid rock. I want to tell you, every time you hear something that Jesus says, you're going to have to dig deep. Through all of the questions, all of the religious rubbish you picked up along the way, all of the secular stuff that's floating around in your head, all of the reasons why what he said doesn't really matter or isn't relevant anymore, if that word's ever going to become effective in your life. He's like a wise man who dug deep and laid the foundation of his house on solid rock. He knows the most important part of any building is the foundation. Remember when Peter brought forth the revelation? I think it's in Matthew chapter 16, it's recorded. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, Jesus says to him, blessed are you. He wants to be blessed. We all want to be blessed. We're supposed to be blessed. We were designed to be blessed. I asked how you do this morning. Somebody said, I'm blessed. I said, thank God, somebody's blessed. Somebody's catching it. Blessed are you, and upon this rock, Jesus said, I will build my church. What rock? The rock of the revelation that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, if you catch that, the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. The gates of hell, the schemes and all the plans and the plots and the schemes that the devil has to destroy your life will not be able to prevail against you if you get that revelation down on the inside of you. Hallelujah. You see, the wise man's house, it's stormproof. Even though the stuff and the storms of life pound, and the New King James it says, beat vehemently. You know, there's a lot of expression in that statement. Beat vehemently on its exterior. Because the wise man goes deep for the wisdom and the power and the glory of God. That is his hope and expectation. Why? Because Christ is in him. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ, the wisdom of God and the power of God and the glory of God. Where? On the inside of you. You see, those who proclaim Jesus' Lordship and maintain the integrity, say the integrity. Those who proclaim his Lordship, Jesus is Lord, we were singing it this morning. Those who proclaim his Lordship and then maintain the integrity of that profession, they actually get to experience the reality of his Lordship in their lives. Our mission statement, we've had it from the very beginning. The people of the Western Isles, expanding to the people of the world, under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, experiencing what that truly means. Saved, healed, and delivered. It's not just supposed to be on the wall. It's supposed to be in your heart. Where there is no vision, the people perish. The Lord spoke through Habakkuk. He says, proclaim this vision, declare this vision, speak it out, write it down, so that people who hear it, people who grab a hold of it, will be able to run with it. Will be able to experience it. Hallelujah. Those who proclaim Jesus' Lordship and maintain the integrity of that profession, they get to experience the reality of his Lordship in their lives. They discover that their hearts are sin-proof, their bodies are sickness-proof, their minds are oppression and depression-proof, their finances are recession-proof, their marriages are divorce-proof, their relationships are strife-proof, and ultimately their lives are death-proof. And I know when I say that, some folks just switch off, man. Get out of here with that stuff, will you? I'm going to tell you, you maintain the integrity of your profession, that's the stuff you're walking in. You're going to start walking in some of that stuff. Doesn't matter how many failures you've had, doesn't matter how many setbacks you've had, doesn't matter how many times it might not have worked for you in the past, you maintain the integrity in every situation that you face, in every circumstance that you face, that Jesus Christ is Lord. I tell you, you might be down there in the emergency room in the hospital, you need to maintain, and that's a good place to be sometimes, in certain situations and circumstances, but you need to maintain the integrity of your profession in the midst of all this stuff. Jesus Christ is Lord! And because he's Lord, I'll come through this, and I'll come through it with a shout, and I'll come through it victorious, come on, and I'll come through it with a testimony that Jesus Christ is Lord. That he's everything that he says he is. That he's my Savior, he's my healer, he's my deliverer, he's my provider, just like we were saying. I said a few minutes ago, next week will be High Five Sunday. You know what happened that day? Everybody came out with their pantheons and everybody was shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. You know, a few days later, some of the same people were shouting, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. They did not maintain the integrity of their profession. Because things looked as if they were going downhill, so let's get on the bandwagon of the people who seem to be winning right now. You see, those who proclaim that Jesus is Lord, and then hear what he says. He said, Jesus said, the other guy, he heard the same things. But they ignore it. Or they don't apply it. He says, they're like a foolish man who didn't bother digging out a foundation. Thought he could just build his house on the earth. You see, because they fail to maintain the integrity of their profession, they don't go deep into the resources that are available to them, the wisdom of God. I was in James 1 this morning, my personal reading this morning, early morning. It says, let every man be quick to hear. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. He says, you give liberally to every man without reproach. That Greek word for reproach there, it means without mocking or ridicule. God's never going to mock you or ridicule you. Whatever question you ask him, whatever you bring before him and ask him concerning, he's never going to mock you or ridicule you, even if it's something you should really know already. Because one of James 1, it says, to any man, let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak. Quick to hear what? Quick to hear what God has to say. Quick to hear what the Lord Jesus Christ has to say about this. Slow to speak and argue and reason and all of the other stuff that comes up. A foolish man doesn't dig into the resources that are available to him, the wisdom of God, the power of God, and the glory of God. And because of that, they're reduced to trying to deal with the stuff and the storms of life with wisdom that the Bible calls earthly, sensual, and demonic. The wisdom that does not descend from above. See, the wisdom that comes from above comes to your spirit, and from your spirit you can access that resource. But if you reject that resource, you'll be stuck with that other wisdom that the Bible calls earthly. He built his house on the earth. He wasn't doing anything any different from anybody else around him. He said, "Oh, Jesus is Lord." But that was as far as it went. So when the storms came and beat on that man's house, it collapsed. Always remember this, folks. Neither of these houses was storm-free. The same storm hit both houses, but one house, it turned out, at the end of the day, when it was all over and the storm had passed, one house was storm-proof, still standing. There was still somebody in that house declaring Jesus Christ as Lord. If you'd come to that man's door and knocked on his door and said, "How come my house collapsed and yours is still standing?" He'd have had one answer for you: Jesus is Lord. "As for me and my house," I said, "as for me and my house," I said, "as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord because He is Lord." You've got to make that decision. And you've got to maintain the integrity of that decision. You've got to make that profession, and then you've got to maintain the integrity of that profession in every situation and every circumstance, even when the stuff is beating vehemently. Anyone know about the vehemently stuff? Yeah. You know, the questions asked, I was asked this again the other day, why do bad things happen to good people? I want to tell you something. The reality is, bad things happen to all people. But in light of what Jesus taught us, the question should be, what is left standing after the bad thing passes? And that will always be determined by what people do when bad things happen. Are you with me today? You see, the wise man, he holds fast to his profession that Jesus Christ is Lord. And because of that, he continues to proclaim that truth in the face of anything and everything that comes beating on his house. You see, if Jesus Christ is Lord, then he's Lord over sin. If he's Lord, he's Lord over sickness. I mean, we heard this years ago, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. Well, it's absolutely right. If he's Lord, he's Lord over sickness. If he's Lord, he's Lord over every oppressive influence. If he's Lord, he's Lord over our finances. If he's Lord, he's Lord over our marriage. If he's Lord, he's Lord over all of our relationships. And if he's Lord, he's Lord over our entire lives. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, in conclusion, you might, this is not the end of this message, but glory to God. It was coming near the end of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord, be empowered through your union with Him. Draw your strength from Him. That strength which His boundless might provides. Put on God's whole armour, the armour of a heavy armed soldier which God supplies, that you may be able successfully, say successfully, that you may be able successfully to stand up against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil. You might be still standing. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, we're not contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers. I tell you, that could be scary if you didn't know Jesus Christ as Lord. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits, who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. Therefore put on God's complete armour, that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. And having done all the crisis demands, what does the crisis demand? That you maintain the integrity of your profession. That you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger, and having done all the crisis demands, in order to stand firmly in your place. See, the foolish man, he says Jesus Christ is Lord, but he doesn't continue to apply that truth. to his circumstances. And so he exchanges the wisdom of God and the power of God and the glory and the goodness of God, because God's glory is synonymous with his goodness. He exchanges the glory and the goodness of God for what can never promise or be guaranteed to help or to sustain or to provide for or to protect him and his house. That's why Jesus said he's a foolish man. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 11 says, "But we do strongly and earnestly desire for each of you to show the same diligence and sincerity all the way through in realizing and enjoying the full assurance and development of your hope until the end, in order that you may not grow disinterested and become spiritual sluggards, but imitators, behaving as do those who through faith by their leaning of the entire personality on God in Christ in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom and goodness," from the Amplified Bible, "and by practice of patient endurance and waiting are now inheriting the promises." Oh, Rabbi Shaka. "For when God made his promise to Abraham, he swore by himself, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, saying, blessing," say blessing, "saying, blessing, I certainly will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply you." Hebrews 10:35 says, "Do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence." You got any fearless confidence this morning? Are you here this morning to be trained and equipped? Because that's what I'm here for. I take it seriously. I said it last week, I take it very seriously. This hour I have with you, every week, I take it very seriously. Now, you might not even bother to show up, but that's up to you. And if you do show up, you might not even bother to listen. And if you do listen a little bit, you might just reject it out of hand. Well, that's not my responsibility. But I'm trying to train you and equip you to be living a house, glory to God, that when every storm beats heavily against that house, when the storm passes, you're still standing. And you're still proclaiming. And you're still declaring to anyone who will listen and anyone who's within the sound of your voice that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. Nothing, not even the most famous storm will get him off his throne. Come on, come on, Shaq. Come on, somebody. "Do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence, for it carries a great and glorious compensation of reward." Oh, Rabbi Shaka. "For you have need of steadfast patience and endurance, so that you may perform and fully accomplish the will of God, and thus receive and carry away and enjoy to the full what is promised." It's all good stuff, by the way. This is all good stuff. I said it's all good. I said it's all good. It's all from the abundance of his grace. All the stuff we don't even deserve. And he's willing to pour it all over us. All you have to do is stand under it. You know when you stand under it? When you begin to understand it. And all you get and get wisdom, get understanding. That's what it says in Proverbs. This is wisdom is the principal thing. It's the most important thing. The wisdom of God. What Jesus says. He who is the Word. Colossians 2 verse 7. "Have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted." Say deeply planted. Deeply planted. "Firmly and deeply planted in him. Fixed and founded. Found their foundation in him. Being continually built up and in him. Becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith. Just as you were taught, and abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving." Oh, Shakaba, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you are, Lord, over my circumstances. "See to it that no one carries you off as spoil or makes you yourselves captive by his so-called philosophy and intellectualism and vain deceit, idle fancies and plain nonsense." That expands out and amplified. "Following human tradition, men's ideas of the material rather than the spiritual world. Just crude notions, following the route of entry and elemental teachings of the universe and disregarding the teachings of Christ the Messiah, building on the earth. For in him the whole fullness of the deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form, giving complete expression of the divine nature. And you are in him, made full. And having come to fullness of life in Christ, you too are filled with the Godhead. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And reach full spiritual stature. And he is the head of all rule and authority of every angelic principality. And I don't know, folks, I have a deep longing. I have a deep longing and I have a passionate and fervent desire to see every one of God's precious people moved from kindergarten to kingship. To move from places of limitation to lordship, because Jesus is King of Kings. He is King with a capital K, of Kings with a little K. He is the Lord with a capital L, of Lords with a little L. All of us are called and commissioned to rule under His reign. The problem in our nation, as I said, that picture I tried to paint for you in the beginning, our queen, she's part of a constitutional monarchy, so she supposedly reigns, but the government rules. But you see, in Isaiah chapter 9, it was prophesied that Jesus, the government would be on His shoulders. And of the increase of His government, there would be no end. So you might come up with a constitutional monarchy in the church. You might come up with a place where the presbytery rules, or the pastor rules, or somebody else makes rules. And somebody says, oh, well, God's word might say that, but we know better now. And all of that kind of pathetic nonsense. But I want to tell you something. Come on, shake him as I hit. The church is still a theocracy. Yes. And you're invited to share rule under the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You were created to have dominion in the earth, but that dominion only ever works when you're under His lordship. When you're aligned with His lordship, when you're saying, your kingdom come, your will be done, you just align yourself. And you know what? That gives you authority. That gives you, that restores you back to your capacity to rule as a king with a small K and a lord with a small L. Not to lord it over anybody else. Not to lord it over the brethren, but to lord it over your circumstances. Say, come on, somebody. To lord it over that old split foot devil that tries to come in and steal and kill and destroy. When there ain't no steal and kill and destroy around here anymore, because I'm the king here. I'm Lord here. Adam might have got sold out to you one day, but Jesus bought it back to me and He gave it back to me. And you ain't going to come in here and mess with me no more. I ain't going to allow any of that earthly wisdom to mess with my brain, mess with my mind, mess with my head. Come on, Kobo Shakaba. As far as I'm concerned, Jesus Christ is Lord. He always has been, and He always will be. He's the great I am. He's not the I was or the I will be. He's no has been. Come on, Shaka. He says, I am, and I am, and I am, and I am. How can the church ever think that I am can no longer be I am? Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Every one of us has been given the right to exercise dominion under His governmental authority. Here we go again, folks. Luke chapter 10. We keep coming back here. Verse 19. Behold, I give you authority. I give you authority. See, I was born a sore. I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And our translation puts it this way, behold, I have given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions, and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you. Who's saying He gave us that? I can't say, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord, and then not take that seriously. I can't say Jesus reigns and then, come on somebody. Except someone else's government over these things. Mm. See, there's a lot of good Christians, man. They have full assurance of their eternal salvation. They're fully persuaded of their possession regarding who they are in Christ. And you know what? It seems that they have very little power to act authoritatively in regard to their circumstances. It almost appears that they have little or no say in how things turn out for them. In fact, after that, very often what people do is they build a scaffold of doctrine around their lack of say-so in order to try and support their experience by attempting to sanctify the entirely unscriptural doctrine of whatever will be. They say God is sovereign, and then they speak and act independently from Him in ways that deny His sovereignty. Maybe I should say that again. Maybe you're not interested, but I'm just going to say it again anyway, because somebody may be. They say God is sovereign. I know a lot of people are very good at making that statement. but then they speak and act independently from him in ways that deny his sovereignty. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and then do not do the things that I see? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not take the authority I have given you to shut down everything that's coming in any way, in any shape, form or fashion to harm you? Why are you not shutting the door to that? Because I give you authority to do it. Why are you not telling that thing to stop right now, to desist and get out? Hallelujah. You know what happens next? They go to him and ask him to rubber stamp their decisions, to rubber stamp their actions. Decisions and actions that have more to do with public opinion than they ever had to do with his revealed will. Somebody, has he been getting the message this morning? See, God has already sovereignly revealed his will. He revealed it in his word. And his word that he has decreed will stand forever. And so no government of men, whether it's a government in the world system or whether it's a government in the church, no government of men can legislate for change to the declaration of that word. And all attempts to do so will result in a house that is vulnerable to every storm and which will inevitably collapse with all of the negative and destructive consequences that will be associated with that collapse. Luke chapter 6 verse 49, but he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Another translation says it collapsed and fell, and the breaking and ruin of that house was great. And yet another translation says it collapsed like a house of cards. It was a total loss. Another one says it collapsed and its destruction was complete. See, hearing and doing nothing with what we hear, that's what leaves us in that passive acceptance that we've been speaking about for the past year that God wants to move us out of. But hearing and doing, hearing and saying, hearing and applying moves us into active and aggressive expectancy. Who knows, we're never supposed to be on the defensive, but on the offensive. We're not supposed to be apologetic, but apostolic. We are always blessed to be a blessing. Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God, and the hope of glory dwells in us. See, I was born a sore. Remember, that should make such a major difference in our lives. That should so radically transform our lives that it moves us from 3D existence to 4D living. It moves us from 3D survival to 4D victory. Remember the 3D people who gathered around David? Why did they come? Because of they recognized the anointing upon his life. They recognized that he was an anointed one. They recognized he was a king. Say, a king who could make a difference. Because the anointing is the only way out of 3D. 3D, remember the 3D that they were in was distress, anxiety, mental suffering, anguish. They were in debt, an obligation to repay something to someone else. Remember an old chorus we used to sing years ago, he paid a debt. He did not owe. I owed a debt. I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. But now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, the whole day long, because Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. They were discontented, restlessly unhappy, dissatisfied. The world is chock-a-block full of people right now who think that they could only change something. If they could change their spouse, their husband, their wife, if they could change their job, if they could change their neighbours, if they could change their appearance. You know, the changing of appearance, and then now that they can change their sexuality, that they would be satisfied then. If they could change their gender, I'll be satisfied. No, 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 no. They don't realize that the change they're desperate for. I'm not saying that they're not experiencing a desire for change, but the change that they are truly desperate for is a radical transformation that can only ever begin on the inside. You can change everything on the outside and still be as dissatisfied or even more dissatisfied than you were before. But the change that they're desperate for, the change they're truly crying out for, the change that they're running around all over the place trying to find, is that change that begins on the inside. The world's full of 3D people with real lives that are full of real problems. And the reality, folks, is there's only one real answer. Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 to 14. Christ redeemed us. I said he redeemed us. I said he ain't coming one day to redeem us. He redeemed us. Done deal. He redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. He redeemed us in order. There's always a purpose that the blessing, Rabash, I say the blessing. That the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, he will not just be with you, he will be in you. Colossians 1:27, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, these guys, they gathered around David. They recognized back then the old covenant, there was only three categories of people that were the categories of people that were anointed: the prophet, the priest, and the king. And here's a king with an anointing who can help us. But you see, our anointed one, with his anointing, he's not some king you need to run here, there, and there, try and find him. He's not in some big church building somewhere. He's not. No, he don't live there. You don't have to run here and hither, there, all over there, trying to find the man of God anymore. You are the man of God. You are the woman of God. You are the one that he designed to carry his presence, the power, the wisdom, the power, and the glory of God. Our anointed one with his anointing, he's on the inside of us. Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 24. And he brings all of the power of God. And he brings all of the wisdom of God with him. Where does he come? He comes to live on the inside of you. On the inside of me. Ephesians chapter 3 verses 14 to 21. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, Kobo Shaka, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Say the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you've been rooted and grounded. It's all about foundations. That you've been rooted and grounded in love. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height. That's the fourth dimension. We all see things in 3D from a natural perspective. Width and length and depth. But he's introducing a new dimension, the height. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. You see, when it comes to height, from a natural perspective, even with that Hubble telescope, they can only see so far, and they can see far, but they recognize there's more beyond that. But in the realm of the Spirit, by this power of the Holy Spirit, he's introducing us to this new dimension where we can go beyond where the Hubble telescope can go, or any other telescope that they ever come up with. Hallelujah. So we can understand and experience a dimension that no telescope can ever discover or find. There's no limit to it. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. I mean, meditate on that for a few years, will you? According to the power that works in us. Why are people running around here, there, and everywhere trying to find the power when it's in us? Not us for no more, you understand? Anyone who says Jesus is Lord and maintains the integrity of that profession will discover the power's in us. And then, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever. Come on now, sometimes he puts things in there for a purpose, you know. To all generations forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So be it. Signed, sealed, and delivered. That's God just rubber stamped that. Before thee, God, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask. That's our prayer life. I tell you, prayer is wonderful. Prayer is awesome. Prayer is so incredible. But you know, he's not even. You come and ask and you expect him to answer in a particular way, but no, he wants to go beyond that. He wants to blow you out of the water. He doesn't want this thing to become boring or mundane. Oh no, it won't be something that's coming around behind smacking you in the back of the head. No, it'll be something better. It'll be of a better and a higher quality than what you asked for. Or think. That's our imagination. I mean, I've got a pretty vivid imagination. I don't know if you always have had. Ever since I was a little kid, man. Because I had to play my own. There was no other kids around, and there was no nurseries or playgroups then, and I just had to find my own pastime. So I developed an imagination then you would not believe glory to God. It's helped me even within the kingdom, because I can go places, hallelujah. When God says that, I don't have a problem believing it. God says he can do that, but I tell you, even my imagination, he's not bound by my imagination. He's not bound by my thinking. Because I can think some pretty wild things, but I want to tell you, he says, I'm going to do exceeding abundantly above what you can think. I'm going to keep surprising you. He wants to show himself strong beyond our greatest prayer of faith. Beyond our wildest imagination, Sandra. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong. To show himself strong. To show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. On behalf of those who say Jesus Christ is Lord and maintain the integrity of that profession. Hallelujah. Somebody help me. Remember, we have been looking at Abraham over these past few weeks. We've been looking at him to see what it means to have the blessing of the Lord on your life. Why Jesus went to the cross so that same blessing could become operative and operational in our lives. You see, in Abraham, God found a man. Say, God found a man. He's always looking for a man. He does nothing in the earth except he does it through a man or a woman. Somebody help me. Sometimes he found a woman. Sometimes he found a man. And Abraham, God found a man. He found, you know, in order to do the most incredible thing that ever happened on this earth, he found a woman. Her name was Mary. He had to find a woman, so he couldn't do it through a man. There's some things you can do through men, there's some things you can do through women. Don't ever let anybody diminish who you are. If you're a woman, you're no less than the man. But there's some things you were designed for, and there's some things the man was designed for. That doesn't make you resentful or make you feel any less. No, when God did the most incredible, the most awesome thing he ever did on the earth, he had to find a woman. If that doesn't give you value, woman, nothing will. He found a man called Abraham. A man who would give him his heart. A man through whom he could establish his covenant. A man through whom he could release his blessing. Say his blessing. Through whom he could release his blessing. He was desperate to release his blessing. He saw the mess that the world was in. He said, I want to release my blessing into that. He found a man. He found a moon worshipper. Called Abraham. Or Abraham he was then. Abraham recognized that he had a relationship with Almighty God. Remember last time? He didn't hide behind the false humility of religiosity. When the Lord told Abraham not to be afraid because he was his shield and his exceedingly great reward, Abraham said, well, fair enough, O sovereign Lord, but so what can you give me then? He reminded the Lord that he had no heir, and the Lord replied that he would have a son who would be his heir, a son from his own loins through his own wife. And then he gave him a picture, as we said last time, to accompany that word. He took him outside, told him to look up at the heavens, count the stars. And of course, that's not even possible. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And Abraham said, oh Lord, that's just too much. No, Abraham believed the Lord. And it was credited to him as righteousness. Righteousness, as the Amplified Bible defines it, conformity to God in purpose, thought, and action. See, the Lord had found a man on whose behalf he could show himself strong. I said the Lord had just found a man on whose behalf he could show himself strong. I mean, Abraham wasn't a stupid guy, man. He was well aware of where things were at physically. In respect of the natural impossibility of what God had just said coming to pass. Because of Sarah's inability to conceive, even when she was a young woman. Never mind, an old woman. But he chose to exchange his 3D experience for 4D faith. I said he chose to exchange his 3D experience for 4D faith. I don't know if you've ever figured this one out or not, but if you haven't, I'm here to enlighten you. You don't need faith for what you can do for yourself. If you can do it for yourself, you don't need faith. When was the last time you asked the Lord to supply something that was lacking in your life? Something that you knew you did not have the resources for. Something that you know is totally out with your ability to supply. When's the last time you actually came before Him and said, okay, Lord, what can you give me? Jesus is Lord. Man, I believe that. I'm going to keep proclaiming that. I'm going to keep declaring that. And so, what can you give me? The Lord always gives more than enough. Why? So that you can overflow that blessing. But you cannot be a blessing until you're blessed. Abraham's descendants, plural, the ones that were going to be so many as the number of the stars that you can't even count, they couldn't possess anything until he had one descendant. And Abraham had to believe God for that to happen. But Jesus told us to pray something. He said, pray this way, give us today. Then the Lord says to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abraham said, well, that's really cool, but we've all been Lord, so how can I know that I will gain possession of it? I want you to hear these words. I am the Lord who brought you out. So the Lord tells him to bring a heifer and a goat, prepare a sacrifice. Abraham brought them all to him, cut them in two. And then it says that the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abraham drove them away. Jesus said the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. What are you doing with him? With that thief when he comes to steal the word of God's power out of your heart. That word that is life to you. That word that comes to communicate 4D life. That word that comes with... programmed with abundant life, more than enough life, that word that comes to you to release you into the blessed life. What are you doing with a thief when he comes? Are you driving him away? Are you taking the authority you've been given to drive him away? You need to know something, folks. When you do your part, you gain access to the fullness of everything the Lord has provided. And what are we asked to do? Only one thing, only believe. Only believe what? That Jesus Christ is Lord, and maintain the integrity of that profession. I think we need to stop here because time is going. I don't have lots more to say on this. We'll come back then. Where are they going? Now, let's stand up together. Say, I was born to soar. Say, I was born to soar. I was born to soar. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you excited this morning? I said, are you excited this morning? Hallelujah. Did you come here to be trained and equipped? Remember, Abraham had 318 trained servants. I take it seriously. I believe this is the house of God, the church of the living God. And I believe we come here together to be trained and equipped. I take my role seriously in that training and equipping of God's people that they might experience everything that God has planned for them. Hallelujah. How seriously do you take it this morning? Glory to God. I want to tell you here, 318 trained servants. They weren't servants like your regular servants. You know what he trained them in? He trained them in how to receive the blessing and to know that they were blessed to be a blessing. Hallelujah. I said he trained them in how to receive the blessing and he instructed them that they were blessed to be a blessing. And so that when Lot and the king of Sodom, and let me just finish with this as well, when Lot and the king of Sodom and all these other characters were taken captive, Abraham took his 318 trained servants who were trained in this house and they rescued Lot and the king of Sodom and all of these characters. And you know what? As far as we're aware, it was just a fear that these characters just went straight back to living the way they used to be living. There was no real change of heart. They didn't get it. They didn't understand that they'd been given an opportunity and a chance. But Abraham didn't hold that against them. He just did what he was blessed to do. Be a blessing. Hallelujah. And it's not for us to judge. It's not for us to jump in there and start. God set a time and he set a day where he will judge the world by the one whom he has appointed. His name is Jesus. He's the one who's Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so all we have to do, all we have responsibility is to be a blessing. To be a blessing everywhere we go and with everyone that we meet. Hallelujah. And if they run back into the mess you just rescued them out, there's not a whole lot you can do about that. Because one day he will, anyway, I'm preaching the Bible. Hallelujah. We'll come back to that. Amen. Glory to God. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your precious people here today. I thank you, Father, that you have created us for a purpose. That purpose is to be like Jesus. To rule under his reign. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that he is Lord of all. The Lord of all glory. Hallelujah. The Lord of all of our circumstances. We choose to maintain the integrity of that profession. That we may know that he who is the wisdom, of, the power of God and the wisdom of God and the hope of glory dwells and resides within us. That we might be blessed to be a blessing upon this earth. Release us into this week, Father, equipped to be that blessing, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.